Welcome to RetouchUp's interview series, where we get to hear from some very talented photographers and how they turned their photography business into a success. My name is Trevor Black, and I'll be your host. We are very excited that we have the chance to speak with Allison Carlino today. Allison is from Louisiana originally, but has lived 40 minutes southwest of Houston for 17 years in Sugarland, Texas. Allison photographs and educates around the world. As a former master degreed elementary teacher, she is able to relate to students both technically and personally. In her 17th year of business, she hosts multi and single day workshops on the topics of off-camera lighting, modern posing, volume sports and seniors, and astrophotography at her Richmond, Texas studio and beyond. She is a member of and both teaches and judges for WPPI, PPA's Imaging USA, SWPP London, PPGH, Texas School of Professional Photography, Texas PPA, and Sync Sports. In early 2020, Allison Faith Fine Art Photography was created to celebrate Allison's landscape and astrophotography. Allison is sponsored by and a member of the speaker team for Miller's Professional Imaging. Allison, welcome and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, absolutely. And so I got to ask, with all the teaching, judging, and speaking that you do, and I know you just finished up three incredibly busy weeks, when do you find time to breathe? I mean, you must be incredibly organized. Like, what's your secret?
organization and prayer. That would be the two things. Yeah.
Right on.
I think that organization is key to any business, but it really has to be when you know that you have 2 months of intense firing coming at you. You're supported by a great team and you organize it. That's the best you can do.
Absolutely. What can you tell us a little bit what those 2 months kind of look like for you?
Sure. March and April and October and November are the four busiest months of the year for us here southwest of Houston. We can shoot year-round. We just don't do a lot of it in July and August because of the heat and the humidity. But March and April, typically high school seniors, spring sports for my volume and team and individual that we do, as well as spring weddings and teaching organizations that fall during that time. So spring is hopping. We tend to do a lot of family portraits in the fall for Christmas in October and November. We also have weddings during that time and some workshops, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, at that point, we're just trying to, all of our marketing is in place. We don't do anything new during those 2 months. That's what we use our other months to prepare for as we roll into those busy months. This past year, we even did a Santa event at my studio where it was COVID safe and much better than going to the mall. Mm. So we're slightly expanding our offerings based on the public needs. But it's busy, for sure.
Sounds incredibly busy. Seniors and weddings, yeah, those are busy times of year. And just kind of as a little bit of a background, what kind of got you started down the photography trail, you know? Like, was it just kind of something that always interested you, or where did you get your start?
I've always loved the arts, always. I played flute since the fourth grade. It paid for me to go to college. I toured with the wind ensemble.
Oh, wow.
I was a drum major in high school and in college, so I've always loved the arts. When I finished my elementary education master's, I stayed in the teaching realm for a couple of years and then had a child and stayed home, and I never went back to the official classroom. And, of course, when you have a child, that makes you pick up whatever camera you have. And I realized how... I mean, I had an eye for things, but I had no technical understanding whatsoever. And I mean, everybody looks back at their first images and go, oh my gosh, that's horrible. But I teach with mine. That's how bad they are. So if you can start where I am and end up where I am, it's possible for anyone that's willing to learn. But I always, you know, I picked up the camera with the kids, and that's how I started realizing how bad I was. And I got all the education that I could right off, joined organizations like WPPI and PPA. I partnered with a mentor that walked me through some divisions that I wanted to be in, but others that he just wanted to expose me, and that way I understood what was out there. So if you don't have a ready mentor, I'd go to a photo lab or a professional printing place and start asking there. And that's a good place to start off for someone that might want to mentor you.
That's very interesting with the mentor. So did you... How did you meet your mentor, and like, did you just go up and ask to them, like, hey, could you teach me, or what was that like?
My, that was 17 years ago. I'm a very social creature, so I probably would have just asked, where can I get more training? Is there anyone teaching or would let me shadow them? I wasn't doing weddings my first 2 years. I was terrified. So it's been very important to me that I've watched people do weddings, help pack their gear, and before I ever picked up a camera to do a wedding. So, and I have people that contact me to this day to do that, and they're not paid. It's just one of those things where they want to see what it's like as a worker bee behind the scenes. So you just have to be brazen and bold enough to ask, where can I get some training? Will you let me shadow you?
That's awesome. And because you also mentioned another resource of like PPA, WPPI, what would be some of your favorite resources, like between like, I don't know, mentor or like online courses? Do you have a preference between some of these courses that teach photography?
Well, specifically, I teach off-camera flash and modern posing. And that is not something that I'm, I suppose, not willing to do virtually, because you need to be face-to-face and you need to be hands-on to learn flash. Mm. It is really important that I'm there with you when you learn how to turn it on, how to power it, position level, height, the modifiers. I know this now because I was asked to teach it twice over 2020 virtually, and it was not a success. It's just not the kind of information that works well virtually. So I think that's by the type of skill that you're learning, whether online would work or not.
Gotcha. That's super interesting. Good, very great feedback. So 17 years ago, you kind of got this mentor. You started going down the path of like kind of photography. And then what kind of clicked for you in which you realized or thought, I want to turn this into a business. I think I could see myself, you know, doing this full time. Like where did you kind of go in that direction?
I think I built my portfolio for almost 18 months before I got brave enough to say, I can make a business out of this. For me, I was fortunate that my husband still had a full-time job in corporate America. So therefore, I could stay home and be with the children, as well as working on the weekends with photography. And when I found out that that partnership was going to be firm and set, and he was set in corporate America, that kind of gave me the freedom to say, okay, it's time to go. That was the money side of it. The artistic side of it took a while. I would say I spent, like I said, 18 months building that portfolio, and I bet it was 2 years before I decided that this is something people would actually value, that they saw a need in it, and they saw the skill, they saw the passion, they saw I wanted to work. So that did not come overnight. That took time to build that confidence.
Yeah, that's 2 years. That's definitely a good chunk of time. That's awesome that you stuck with it, though. Holy cow. And so, I mean, now you have this incredible 17 years of experience, and now you're teaching and being able to go all over and help people. So I guess, you know, in a sense, you could say, you know, hey, you've made it. You have this successful business. It's taking care of you. So what do you do now to challenge yourself and push yourself to greater heights?
Well, first of all, I continue to stay connected to the industry. It's very important that you go and you see the current products that are out there to decide if they're part of your target market. It's very important that you go and hear other speakers, whether they're new in the industry and they've got something fresh that can inspire you, or if they've been around for 25 years and they're people that I stand on the shoulders of. See, both of those people will teach you something. So whether it's new skills or a new way of approaching a subject and a composition, they've got something to share. It's very important that fresh blood continues to come into those organizations. And I appreciate what both of them are doing, trying to make them more diverse as well. There's been a big effort to get just more women on stage, more African-Americans, more minorities. And I'm appreciative that they're getting that section of the portrait population, the wedding population, noticed and up on stage. Repeat the question again.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, in a sense, you've made it, your business is taking care of you. So how do you continue to push yourself, challenge yourself to improve so you don't kind of, you know, necessarily just become stagnant?
Going to places that I've not gone before, whether that's for landscape, whether that's for visiting an art museum that has sculptures in it. Perhaps a sculpture will inspire me for a new pose on a high school senior girl session. So staying fresh with art that's out there trickles back down. It sits in your subconscious for a while, and then all of a sudden it comes out on a session.
That's really neat. So you actually like will go to museums and like do you just like write anything down, or is you just kind of take some mental pictures? Like, what's your strategy there?
Mental pictures.
Right.
Mental
on.
Pictures. Yeah, it seems to sink into my subconscious that way. Now, when I'm at conventions, though, I'm a big teacher by heart, as you know. So I'm writing, mm-hmm. even to this day, 17 years later, I still write notes when I go to classes. I may type them in later on to make digital permanent copies, but writing mm-hmm. to me something over and over, especially when I'm about ready to teach it, the more you can write it and the more you can speak it, the better you know it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's super awesome. 17 years later, still writing everything down. That's awesome. No, that's phenomenal. Because, I mean, yeah, you were a teacher beforehand and everything. So I'm sure a lot of this, yeah, is kind of ingrained into you a little bit, would you say?
Absolutely. Because I've sat through classes before where the teacher, man, they can make an image that can win an award, but they can't teach it. And that frustrates the mess out of me. Like, they need to be able to have a lesson plan with valid points and objectives and then samples and then hands-on to back it up. Because it's nothing without hands-on. People learn hands-on.
That's very interesting. No, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, kind of something a little bit more relevant to the present, you know, with COVID having just really rocked our world in the past year. What's been one of the biggest challenges that your business has faced in the last year? And, you know, how did you work to overcome that? And do you feel you're experiencing some of those same challenges now, or kind of a lot of questions there? So maybe first we just kind of, what was the biggest challenge in this last year for you? And what did you do to kind of combat that?
When things shut down a year ago, we lost 42 bookings in 6 weeks.
Oh my word.
And that was all my spring schools and my spring sports. And then I had a summer with no weddings. So I had 6 months of no work. Oh, and I'm just stroking the violin here because this is, most people had job loss. And this is not nothing new. It's just it was amazingly heavy for us for 6 months with no work. My biggest worry every night that I stayed on my knees praying about was keeping my 6 staff employed. That was the hardest part. And we applied for the PPP. We got that. We had some savings. We went through that. But even when August came up, you know, people were still a little bit shy about scheduling things. And sports teams weren't fully back. And then they had so many virtual kids, they couldn't figure out how to get one team together. Even though I'm doing digital extraction and widescreen shooting one at a time, they still had so many times when virtual kids couldn't be there during the school day. So I had to make the choice of, do I want to set up at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. just to accompany the virtual kids? It blows my whole day. So it's been a struggle for everybody from teachers to coaches to people like me that service those organizations just to get back on our feet. We are incredibly busy right now, and I know that Texas has been more forefront about getting things back opened again. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I had 14 sessions in 1 week. I have 10 this week. So we're back up to pre-COVID for whatever that means.
That's
I'm still
awesome.
Having to break my sessions up with coming in early for virtuals or staying late for virtuals, but I'm willing to do what it takes to work.
Yeah.
So therefore, if I'm working, the girls are working because I'm the direct relation on what they have. I have no full-timers. They're all, you know, by the job they work, so there's nobody with guaranteed hours. And we don't have a PPP loan anymore. Of course, that's already been used. So we're back to work. And the biggest challenge I'm facing this year right now is the girls that are calling me for fresh weddings, for new weddings. They're having to compete with all those 2020 girls or 2020
anything
that have pushed back in the spring and the summer. And this morning I even turned down one for June because I just don't have the openings now. So I'm losing openings because of what happened last year. Because those girls had to push this year. So that tends to be the challenge is booking at this point.
That's very interesting. I mean, fantastic that you guys were able to weather the storm and then bounce back. But it's so busy now because you're having to catch up from last year that to the point you're having to say no to others, if I'm understanding that right.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, appreciate you sharing that. What a great, I mean, kind of inspiration to just hang in there. Love everything that you were sharing. Appreciate your honesty on that.
You're welcome.
And, you know, for for people, you know, photographers looking to, you know, expand their business, kind of bounce back from, or continue to bounce back from everything that's been experienced in the last year, could you share maybe some of the most helpful resources that help you in your business? You know, maybe things you use on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, things that could potentially help others, you know, kind of maybe streamline or just help their business.
Well, the first one that pops up there is the division that's now 40 to 45% of our annual sales, and that's my sports and schools division, my volume division. We weren't even doing volume 6 years ago. So it's really blown up for us. We went from a couple of teams to over 40. So it's the major partner to getting this moving would be RetouchUp. Because I shoot with a white screen, that means everyone has to be extracted. Some of my schools during COVID were even doing this for their class photos because we couldn't get together in a class photo without wearing a mask. So we were even doing schools for extraction, which is definitely not something common. But yeah, I keep RetouchUp busy for sure. That partnership and the fast service that they return back the PNG files to us allows my girls to get busy on the graphics and Photoshop and get stuff back out to coaches. Mm. So if we had to extract in-house, no, I mean, there's no way we would do that. So that's absolutely something that somebody else should be doing that I don't need to be spending time on. And the service is always there. The price is right. And if something is wrong, which occasionally it is with maybe a piece of hair that we didn't like because I'm a perfectionist with that, or maybe it was a tennis racket and some of the strings weren't extracted correctly, we'll send it back and it's fixed and sent back without a problem. So, yeah, we're very happy with RetouchUp. So if you're in the volume world and you're working with any kind of extraction in graphics and Photoshop, then RetouchUp is where you need to go. So that's my number one resource with volume. With portrait and wedding, what kind of resources would help people? I would say going straight for a type of software that can keep your clientele's information organized. We use ShootProof for all of our sales and to have a running database on what our clients have cashed in on and what they haven't. So ShootProof is our bloodline for the business as far as sales and database information.
Right on. So ShootProof, RetouchUp. Thank you for all the kind words on that and stuff. ShootProof, yeah, I've learned a little bit about ShootProof. They also kind of let you like set up like pictures for clients to be able to see. Is that, am I understanding that right? I don't know too much about them.
Right. When you load your images up there, the client can add it to the cart and check out with whatever products you set up in your menu.
Oh, even check out and pay. That's awesome.
Yep.
Awesome that that's integrated.
So it's a sales. Yeah, and it produces the right kind of invoices that we need for QuickBooks.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's great. Well, hey, no, we're kind of don't want to take too much of your time. So just kind of to wrap things up, a couple just last questions for you. Really, thank you so much. You know, say I'm a photographer. Maybe I've been in the business just maybe a few years or so, wanting to expand. What advice would you give to someone like me that's trying to make my business succeed and expand and be profitable?
I would give you the advice that Jerry Gionis, one of my other mentors, gave me many, many, many years ago. And that would be, you need to be a business person first that happens to be a photographer and not the other way around. So if you don't have any business skills on how to market, how to forecast, how to file sales taxes, then you hire someone that does. Because your creativity and your passion can only get you so far. You've got to make money in this or you will be a starving artist. So be a business person who happens to be a photographer.
That's phenomenal advice. And then just lastly, you know, if people are interested in connecting with you, Allison, what would be the best way for them to do so?
I would send them to my website directly, and that would be www.carlinosphotography.com. CARLINOS photography. And then from there, you can find our social media channels.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you so, so much, Allison. I love being able to have this opportunity to speak directly with you and others and learn so much. taking notes along the way and get to go back and listen to this. So just want to give you a really big thank you. What great advice. And I hope that, you know, the people listening to this, the photographers listening, will be able to take you up on some of that advice and continue to push forward and succeed in what they're doing. But seriously, thank you so much.
Of course. You're very, very, very welcome. Hopefully I've inspired some people, and reach out to me with questions if you have some.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Allison. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Reed Touchup's interview series. We look forward to having you here next month, when we'll have the chance to speak with the very talented Chris Smith.